Oh, everybody, welcome back to What We're Into. This is a show where Roxy and I'm DJ, by the way, talk about what we're into. This is over on the Patreon. Thank you for being a patron. And we've got a lot to talk about because we were off last week. So let's start with the big thing that we missed last week. House of the Dragon ended. Episode 10, The Black Queen, while mourning a tragic loss, Rhaenyra tries to hold the realm together and Daemon prepares for war. Ooh.
Yes.
War. Roxy, what did you think about the season finale of House of the Dragon?
Good. I'm intrigued on what they're going to do next. I'm with you. Let's chill on the time jumps. Now let's just no more time jumps in season two, probably from if we're asking me what I want. I think that the death of a child is perfect way to go out a Game of Thrones show.
I don't know about you, Roxy. The second that little kid was like, I don't know if I'm worthy to roll this part. It's like, oh, motherfucker, you're dead. You're dead. You're done for.
Immediately when she said to him, here's going to be an easy mission. He's going to welcome you open arms. I was like, dead.
Yep, done for.
But then I did think he might make it out alive when Aemond was like, is that his name, Aemond?
Yes.
And Aemond was like, take your eye. I thought he was going to have to take his own eye out and that he might live.
You're like, oh, maybe this is the tragedy that we're going to set up for. Yes.
But then the second that like we're going through the caves and he comes out, he thinks he's in the clear. I'm like, kid's a goner.
Yeah. The second he sees bright skies, I'm like, I'm sorry, my dude. I'm sorry, my guy. And
I thought that looked sick too, the way the dragon ate the other dragon. I was like, ooh, visually, you guys are working for me.
I also love, I feel like this is for all the nerds like me in the audience, when they start listing the dragons that are available, I'm like, show me all of them. I want to see all of them.
I love that too. Because also I need to kind of like a reminder of like, who's at play here?
How many dragons are there? Yeah. Oh, by the way, how did nobody tell future generations, Game of Thrones, Daenerys, that you could light up that table? That was dope. I was like, oh, you guys could have done that the whole time. Missed opportunity.
I feel like that should have been played like telephone.
Exactly. Like, hey, by the way, I also like that then that final sequence that it illustrates, because there is a lot of talk of dragons being what we need to win, that it's like, but the dragons are also have their own agendas. So they work with you, not necessarily for you. And they can kind of like, because it was very clear, you get a moment with both of them when, I can't remember the little dragon's name, but when he blows fire and the kid's like, hey, fucking cool it, we're trying to get the fuck out of here. And then when he gets eaten, Aemond's like, oh shit, that's not, which, how did you think that was going to play out, dude? You've got the biggest fucking dragon in the world. You think you could just like let him off the leash and things would turn out fine? What's your problem?
But that's like full descent into villainhood for him, I feel like.
Oh, we'll see. Know? We'll see. Maybe this will be his moment to redeem himself. He'll be like, no, I fucked up. I need to do better.
Did you interpret the last moment, though, as Rhaenyra finding out that her son's dead when she turns around and gives that look?
Yes.
So, but how would she know that?
I think Daemon was told, like maybe they were searching for him and they found, or the whatever, news
and
came back.
So searching for him and what?
What did they find? Good question. Or maybe word came back?
That's what I was confused about. Like, unless Aemond went home and was like, yeah, I fucking killed him. Yeah. And then that got back to them. It's like, you would never know. Kid fell from the sky. Dragon was eaten. Kid was eaten. No remnants. They're definitely over water of some sorts. And also, even if they weren't, there's no, what fell?
It could be a simple, like, he left and he should be back now.
Yeah, but and then Aemond was there. Daemon delivering that news, you know?
So you could get the dramatic moment when she's like, bitch, it's on. That look in her eyes. Like,
I feel like we might come back and find out that she actually was not informed of that.
Then what happened? What was she informed of?
Maybe she was informed that Daemon was there. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Aemond was there.
Yeah.
Aemond was trying to get the kid to take his eye out.
Okay.
And we might come back on her then like search partying because I do think it's going to be part of season two on what happened to the kid.
Yeah, maybe because it would be hard to, like, that's not exactly an easy thing to find out. Also, we do get the seed planted that we might be running into some Starks in season two, so that maybe that's who Henry Cavill's supposed to play, a fucking Stark. That'd be cool.
Henry Cavill's not in the show.
What, listen.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I just don't think
Henry Cavill and Elizabeth Olsen,
Warner Brothers, so.
both were rumored.
Maybe Superman's in the show.
Maybe Superman shows up and he fucking punches Eamon's dragon out of the sky. Also cool. Also down for it. Wait, we had a question here from the Discord from Mike Joyce. With no new House of the Dragon episodes until 2024, do you think you'll be able to avoid reading spoilers? Do spoilers even matter to you since the book it's based on is written by an unreliable narrators and the show is what quote unquote actually happened?
I don't know if it matters to me.
Yeah.
Does it matter to you?
I guess enough that I'm not searching it out, although I am. It is tricky because the book doesn't just cover this. This is one part of like generations of Targaryens that the book that this is based on apparently covers. So it isn't a one-to-one like the Game of Thrones books were. I guess it matters enough that I'm not looking it up, even though I'm curious about like I guess I saw somebody totally, do fan art with Aemon and a love interest. I'm like, he has a love interest. So I started digging a little bit. I was like, no, never mind. I don't want to know.
Yeah. My co-host of the World Girls and friend of this show and all shows, Steph Sabra, went and read summaries on every single thing that's going to happen on the show.
Mm.
And I was like, why would you do that? Yeah. Like, even before this finale, she's like, I just want to know. I'm scared. So I just want to know. And I guess it's like the same reason somebody would read the book, but less cool than that.
Yeah. I think I might, if I were to do it, I would read the book and then have that. I do wonder, this goes back to my theory that I think some of the backlash for Game of Thrones was for all the talk of it being surprises. I actually think a lot of people looked up spoilers online. So once the show got to actual things that they couldn't look up ahead of time and then genuinely surprised them, they did not like it.
That could be true.
Yeah.
That could be true.
I feel like that is if it is a factor, a small factor, but my theory is that it is a factor that it's people, if for all people like to talk about being surprised, we eat up them spoilies. So I don't know that that's true for most people anyway.
Yeah. But it's also a factor that they didn't pick the right person to end up on the throne.
But again, I think the point is that it doesn't matter. The point is it doesn't matter. The whole show is telling you it doesn't matter who ends up on the throne, really. Like in the first season, we talk about like the king shits, the hand wipes. It's kind of pointless. That's my argument. We don't need to get into it. I liked the Game of Thrones finale. Let's talk about something else I like and Roxy doesn't. Let's talk about Andor.
That is so unfair. I do like this show.
You hate it.
No, I like it fine. It's just so interesting. Like, Darina just started watching it, another friend of the show, and she was like, I can't believe how amazing this is. It's conquering fascism and capitalism and the prison system. And Steph thinks it's the best show that's come out in 2022. You're obsessed with this show. I go online. I see every single person whose opinion I like and trust. This is the best show of the year. The show is amazing. The show is everything. And I watch it, and I'm like, show's good.
Where do you think the disconnect is?
In the Star Wars part of it.
You want more of the space wizards and the Zippy Zaps?
I don't understand some of the things. Like, I don't know. And I don't know. It's fine. The show is totally fine. There's no love interest, which I fucking hate.
There's Bix. She's busy being tortured.
That part I like.
Yeah.
I'm into that because that makes sense to me. I don't give a fuck about the Mothma storyline.
What? Can I tell you?
Understand.
Can I tell you?
Everybody loves it because she's in Rogue. She's in the original trilogy and like what happens and whatever. But her, it's so black and white. Her husband's a dick. Her daughter's a dick.
Yeah.
There's no gray. And
well, but here's what I find compelling about Mon Mothma.
And what's her name? I fuck it up every time.
Mon Mothma. M-O-N. Space Mothma is Mon Mothma, and what I like about her, and I think it's even telegraphed in her wardrobe because all the white evokes Carrie Fisher, Leia, is I feel like she's everybody else, Andor, Stellan Skarsgård, everybody else understands like, hey, we're in the mud here, and she feels like, and I think this is partially intentional because she is connected to the original trilogy. She's like the one. It's like if you put Leia or Luke in the middle of this. And so when somebody comes to her and like, hey, if you want to do this rebellion shit, you have to do business with a criminal. And she's like, but I was told we're the good guys. And it's like, yeah, but we're years away from a space wizard shooting a bolt down the Death Star. Like, you're going to have to deal with some bad people. Like, and I think that's the bridge. Like, she thinks she's in a battle between good and evil, which she is, but it's a lot murkier than that. She's in the aspect that's a lot murkier than that. And her struggles with that, I find compelling.
Yeah. You and everybody else.
Yeah.
I just don't. So it's hard to say why you don't find something compelling. Yes, you know?
That is true.
Every time we cut to her, I'm like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Not because she's not a good actress, just because I don't care about the story at all.
Yeah.
I care about the things I like about the show are Cassian.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. Yeah. Super invested in him. A little confused on what happened at the end with like the amount of people that are in the Imperial, people that like there are 12 of them or some shit. I didn't really understand what was happening there. Maybe they're going to try to prison break or something.
Yeah. He asked about the guard. He's trying to get Andy Serkis. Oh, God bless the show for having Andy Serkis in it.
And is that Snoke?
Yeah.
But it's going to turn into.
Oh, no. I think it's just Andy Serkis playing a real person for once. Like, they're just allowing
him to. You don't think it's going to turn, he's going to be a science experiment turned into Snoke?
I don't think that's what this show is doing. That would be fucking weird if they tried to put in some back. That didn't even occur to me. That's a good point, though. He did play Snoke. I guess maybe this doesn't feel like that show, but maybe. It maybe make me care about Snoke more. But in this moment, he's trying to do a prison break, and this guy's like, no, as long as we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to get out eventually. And what they've just found out is not only will you not get out, but if somebody finds out you're not going to get out, they'll nuke an entire floor as opposed to let anybody out. So he's like, fuck it, we're doing a prison break. So that's him being like, 12 guards, that's what we're dealing with.
But then they've got that Suicide Squad shit, right?
Elaborate.
The thing in their head.
No, they don't have a thing in their head.
But when they push the button, they're
that's
all just, like,
that's why they're barefoot. That's why they're barefoot. It comes through the floor. It's a current through the floor.
Okay, so yeah, I just like, I'm consistently missing things on this show.
Gotcha.
I feel like it, yeah, no love interest, which I fucking, you know, love or love, ship or ship.
You didn't have a love interest in Obi-Wan.
But lightsabers.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough, fair enough, fair enough.
Lightsaber, but you know, I need one to one.
Okay, got it.
And in my head, he was with Padme, so
it still counts. Still counts.
Yeah, but you're right. And I didn't fucking love Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I liked it, and I like the show, and I like when we're in the prison and we're making like in the white room making the machines, and then they go back to their own rooms. I'm like interested in that now, yeah. And when we go to Bix, mm-hmm. Like her a lot.
Yeah, she's great.
That's the Morbius girl, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Adria Arjona or something, yeah. I think. She's fucking dope. And I also really missed, my favorite parts of the show so far was the episode before the heist.
Okay.
So I miss that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really miss Eben Moss, the character that I like that he...
Oh, yeah. He's done. He's not coming back.
Yeah. And I think this show is good. But like, I also find it to be incredibly PG. And people are like talking about this like it's an R-rated show.
Interesting. That's an interesting observation. I think I don't find it to be PG because its themes and its what it's talking about is so bleak. The universe it presents is so bleak. I made a joke on Twitter. It's like, imagine going to any character in the show and telling them in a few years the Empire will be defeated by a wizard's apprentice and some space teddy bears. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it almost feels like a different world, but I do appreciate it because, like, fuck, man, I'm going to yub-nub. If I rewatch Return of the Jedi after this show, I'm going to yub-nub after the Death Star is destroyed because fuck the Empire, dude.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, totally. Totally. But people are like, Disney taking down the police system and Disney being willing to talk about the problems with capitalism. And like, I'm like, you guys are giving the show too much credit. I don't think it's doing what you guys think it's doing, but maybe it is for you. But for me, I'm just like, what?
I mean,
like,
it's
tiptoeing and like, we're going to like peek our head in and say like, prison, not great. Just walk back.
It's so funny. It's like you're watching a different show.
I know. That's what everybody keeps telling me. And I'm like, oh, I swear to God, every week I sit down, mm-hmm. I put my phone down, I watch the show for 45, 52, whatever. Yeah. It's been varying. And afterwards, I'm like, it was good. Mm-hmm. I go look on Twitter and people are like, this show is saving the planet.
Well, I don't think the show is doing anything. The show is not fixing anything, but I do appreciate that it takes the Empire from being an abstraction to a very clear and present threat. It's not,
I know.
And a very relatable real world threat. Like, it's not just, these are analogs of things that have happened and have been done. As opposed to like, the guy with the black costume is doing space wizard magic. You know what I mean? Like, it's a real, like I am convinced blonde lady whose name I can't remember, but is doing a lot of the Empire's.
Everybody keeps saying I look like her.
Oh, really? I don't see it. But what I will say is I'm convinced.
No, that could be a love. You're talking about the girl with the guy, right? They're going to fuck.
You're talking about the guy with his mom.
Yeah.
I even like the scenes with the guy and his mom because the mom's so great. I find the mom so fucking funny. Yeah. Okay. But I am convinced there's no way she can make it out of the show alive, because if she's around during The New Hope, nobody's getting away with any of that shit. Like, she scares me more than Darth Vader does. Like, this lady is on her shit.
Totally.
Anyway.
She's a cool character. I really do like it, like, casually.
Yeah.
Just not obsessed with it like everybody is. And I think that makes me like it less, you know, like I feel like I'm missing out on it.
You know, I understand. You know, yeah. I understand how that feels. You know, I get it. So
how many episodes do we have left? Huh? How many episodes do we have left?
This was 9. It's 3 more. Okay. I think this was 9. Yeah. 9. 3 more. Anyway,
somebody ramp up home. To do some big shit.
We got to get him out of that prison. Oh, yeah. Glenn Caesar mentions that Vel is Mon Mothma's cousin. The lady from the heist shows up. And I'm going to ask you all, what were you into this week? Boom. And Glenn Caesar also let me know that Arax is the small dragon. I need to be keeping an eye on your chat. You guys are helping me out. You're doing the heavy lifting over here. Caleb Marie asks, do you think Aemon is going to fully commit to killing his cousin or admit that he lost control of his dragon? I think he'll say, I did that shit on purpose, rather than admit that maybe he isn't as in charge of his dragon as he thinks he is.
I think he's either going to say he did it on purpose, or he's not. He's going to say he didn't do it at all.
Oh, yeah. I went the opposite direction. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But I don't think there's any world in which he says I couldn't control my dragon.
Yeah. Yes. Which is the right thing. He should admit, like, hey, man, this is a big dragon. You try and control it. Let's talk.
Well, because I believe if you can't fully control your dragon, like, is it possible in this world that they strip your dragon from you?
It's a good question. They should. He shouldn't have that dragon. It's too big for him.
What's his name? Zhaegar? Her name? Zhaegar?
The dragon is. Somebody in the chat, let us know. What's the name of Aemon's dragon? Zhaegar? No, it's not. Up? It's something with that. I want to say it's with a J. You'll let us know. You'll let us know. Let's touch on real quick. You and I texted each other about this a little bit, but let's talk about the patient.
I love our text chains.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the patient. Series finale. They didn't call it a series finale, but it has to be. It has to be.
I mean, unless it's an anthology series and we have a different therapist that we follow next time.
I don't know if I could handle that, Roxy. The Cantor's husband for Sam, an unexpected decision shows progress towards his goals, but Dr. Strauss demands even more.
Oh, my God. Or the way the episode ended, Sam. We just keep following Sam. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, man.
They did introduce that other therapist at the end.
They did. No, I think the show should end, especially with... We texted about it. I think the show is great. I think this episode is just as good as any other episode. It was bleaker than I wanted. I think what I wanted was spoilers for the patient season finale. Shocker, Sam, our serial killer, kills Dr. Strauss, our therapist. And then he chains him up with the chain that he used to hold Dr. Strauss, which I guess is supposed to be a bittersweet ending. I wanted to be like either Strauss gets away, or Strauss doesn't get away, but Sam gets arrested. And we got none of that.
You wanted justice in some sort.
Some, I think yeah, that this something.
Was, I do feel like this was the most realistic option.
Yeah.
I think realistically, there's no way Dr. Strauss was getting out of this alive. And realistically, the serial killer was going to kill him. And realistically, the serial killer was not going to turn himself in.
I think you're right. I don't think the serial killer would turn himself in. I do think there's an ending that I feel is realistic where he convinces the mom to call the cops on her son. Like, come on.
Yeah, I think that, like, if I was writing this show, I don't think it would have had this ending.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that this ending, but I do think it was realistic. Like, I wasn't like, that would never happen, you know?
Yeah.
But I like a little more, you know, if you stay in the fight, it's possible that something right happens, even if you die,
mm-hmm.
then the mom calls afterward, you know, like.
Yeah.
But there was no justice. I guess the only justice is that he's locked himself up.
Yeah, but then he could just decide not to be. If his mom's not willing to call the cops on him, his mom's willing to hand the keys back to him. Like, what are we talking about here?
Also, realistically, just again, going down that path, he doesn't show up to work for a couple days. Somebody's going to come check.
Well, and also, his boss died and one of the people he checked died. Like, there's a trail. And listen, I'm not necessarily a big believer in the competence of the police in general. I know we don't live in Law and Order world or CSI world, but like, and maybe this is just me wanting just a little sliver of hope. Like you said, he stopped showing up at work. His boss died. One of the people he checked on died. His therapist is dead. And he left the therapist's body somewhere. There's not something on right. the body to say, like, no. Maybe this dude.
Of course there is. And of course, like, that's the idea. So I just feel like then they could have shown us him getting caught.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we're going to go through the death, it would be very realistic then for him to get caught. So they could have done that. And I think in my version, Dr. Strauss wouldn't have made it out, but Sam would have gone to prison.
Yeah.
Because that feels like the medium. You know, mm-hmm. as opposed to Dr. Strauss makes it out and Sam gets, you know,
everything works out for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I was rooting for that. It was such a beautiful moment, though, of the daughter and the son reading the letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like I was incredibly touched by this finale and the message that the entire time we understand exactly where Dr. Strauss was coming from with his son, or at least I did.
Same.
However, could he have done better?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he could have. And the way to do better is via acceptance, mm-hmm. always. In almost every scenario, you know, is love and acceptance.
Yeah.
And acknowledging that his son was hurting nobody, you know, and it was just a different life choice. And so I do think that was beautiful that at least he was able to relay that message to them.
Mm-hmm.
And to all of us, when you think about your lives, if you're taken tomorrow, what is going to be that revelation for you that you could have done better, right? And so I do think that the show was really powerful, really did make me think. And that's why, for me, it did stick the landing.
Yeah,
I did see a lot of mixed reviews online about how bleak it was. And I think those were fair criticism, too, because you did make us sit through fucking 10 hours or 10 episodes, how many ever hours, because some of them were 22 minutes, but some were 45, whatever.
Yeah.
Of this man getting fucking tortured down there.
Yeah.
So for us just to get no resolution is like, fuck you guys. Yeah. But I also loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it stuck to its ethos. I am glad that there was some closure with the family. I didn't want Dr. Strauss to be able to hug his kids again and really like unpack that shit. But at least they got the letter. Is there any chance there's a season two?
I'm super nervous about that. There is zero chance that there should be a season two.
I agree.
Literally zero.
Yeah.
This is the definition of a limited series. Like, you should be able to make shows like this. And if they make $1 billion, you should be able to still not make a second season.
Yes.
There are two different paths that they could have a second season. The first is that it's an anthology show and we go to a different patient or a different kind of captive situation.
Yeah.
The second is that we follow Sam's journey for another season. I don't love either of those scenarios.
Yeah.
But I would watch for sure.
Yeah. Good. Yes. Good point. I think you've summed up my feelings as well. Speaking of shows that did not necessarily need another season, but in this sense, I'm glad it's back. We're going to talk about White Lotus, but before we do that, Aemon's dragon is Vhagar.
Vhagar?
Vhagar.
So I said Zhagar.
So you were a lot closer than I was. I thought there was a J in there, and there sure isn't.
Well, there's a G, and G and J oftentimes
are the same, basically. Yeah. Yeah, see, we're both right. We were both right. We both said Vhagar. We get
Take him or Liam.
Take him or Liam. Let's talk about White Lotus. It's back, baby. What did you think of the season two premiere of White Lotus?
So I have not seen the first White Lotus since it came out. So I've been going around being like, it's crazy that this is now a murder mystery show. And then somebody said to me, what are you talking about? The first one was a murder mystery show too. I don't remember that being the case. I remember it being like a robbery mystery.
The opening, it opens with a body. It opens with, he's in the airport and they're loading a body onto the plane. The first season. In fact, that kind of threw me off. And this season, I'm like, wait, we're doing that again? We're doing the, now there's more bodies, wow, more than one.
See, I had completely forgotten about that. Yeah, yeah, you're right. That white dude that I like, who's in a lot of stuff with the light brown hair, mm-hmm, and he's sitting there, right? And yep, he's like,
and he's, yeah. And he ends up being kind of responsible.
Yeah. Totally forgot about that. I'd be like, it's totally shifted. No, I'm wrong.
No.
I forgot, because that's not the part of the show. To me, it was like a straight up comedy that was making a commentary on rich people.
Yeah, which is why I was kind of surprised, because like you're saying, it was a good hook, but it didn't need it. That I was kind of surprised we went back to that for this season, because now it's like, so what you're telling me, every time Jennifer Coolidge goes on a vacation, somebody dies at the hotel while she's there?
Yeah. Also loving the fact though that the White Lotus is not just one, and I love this new location. We've got some great new characters. Loving how much Murray Bartlett we're getting this in our lives. I'm sorry. How much? What's the name of the guy that you love? He's super fucking famous from Mythic Quest.
Oh, F. Murray Abraham.
F. Murray Abraham.
Yeah. He's not going to be on the next season of Mythic Quest.
Why do you say that?
Because he's not. They've said he's not coming back, and it's unclear as to why. And I don't know if it's because he did some naughty things or not. They won't say.
I'm very sad about that.
Yeah, he's not going to be back for the next season of Mythic Quest.
That comes out in like a week.
Does it?
Yeah.
And here I was getting ready to get rid of my Apple TV Plus because I hadn't used it in a couple months.
Yeah, that comes out in like a week.
Those sons of bitches, they got me.
Wait. Oh, has he been doing naughty things?
I don't know. That was some of the speculation, but they won't say. I haven't been able to follow up on it. It was just one of those weird, like, he's not coming back. And it's like, why? He's not coming back. And it's like, okay, I guess.
Huh. All right, got to look into that. No. But anyway.
Which then it's weird. Of course, I thought of that because of the character he's playing in this, because it's a guy, dude can't keep it in his pants, man.
Creep City.
Yep.
Creep City. Yeah, for sure. So anyway, I like it, mm-hmm, and interested to see what happens. Jennifer Coolidge is just like truly phenomenal, and I would have been really upset if we weren't following her.
Yeah, I'm glad
if she wasn't in the season. I would have been bummed. So
I'm glad that it's so far. She seems like the through line. Like, hey, different location, different people, except for Jennifer Coolidge. She's back, which also means Sean Grease is back as her husband, which is great. And they have one of those It feels like they've been married longer than they could have been, because it's one of those where they can't ever seem to get quite on the same page, and they're both doing fucked up shit. It's like when one of them's doing a nice thing, the other one's on their shit, and when the other one tries to do something nice, that the other one's on their shit. They just can't quite align.
Yeah, and the stuff with the assistant is fucking hysterical.
Fuck that poor assistant. And I've also got to say another comic great, in my opinion, Aubrey Plaza. We were just talking about her on the main show, and I need a scene. I need her and Jennifer Coolidge to have at least one scene, if not a whole subplot. I need it because Aubrey Plaza has.
I need it too.
She has a moment in this, like, she says something along like, "When have I never not been fun?" And her Aubrey Plaza does this look that just sells everything about the character in one moment. I'm like, yeah, you're fucking great. By the way, if anybody who is into Aubrey Plaza, you should check out Emily the Criminal. Came out this year. She's great in it.
What did you make of the moment in which the dad changes in the room with her? And the son's like, well, he's just changing. Like when she reveals it to her.
Reveals it to her guy. And then, yeah. I think if it were my wife, I think the question is, how did that make you feel? Like, what did you think he was trying to do something? Like, did you feel threatened? Did you feel like, cause then we need to do something. If you feel like he was just changing and that's weird, then I'll be on the same page if that's changing and that's weird. I didn't like his response of like, oh no, he's just whatever. I'm like, no, that's fucking.
His response is fucking creepy.
Yeah. It's weird, dude. Like you should be looking out for your lady. Like that's fucking, I know this is your guy friend from college, but like, it's not okay. Wait, dude.
Is that the relationship?
Yeah, they're friends from college.
Oh, I thought it was his dad.
No, they're friends from, they're like college friends.
I did think that they, wait, but they look such different ages.
I don't know. They're friends from college.
I literally thought that was his parents taking them on vacation.
No.
You're telling me that they're saying that those are all kids went to college, the two guys went to college together?
Yes.
Wow. Somehow I thought, I don't know the dynamic at the table. I must've missed the call. Like I thought, I know they were talking about something college, but I thought that those were his parents.
No.
Like, and that's why when they were talking about like, what should we order or whatever? Like, I thought she was trying to impress his parents.
No. The thing there is that she's clearly the one in the pilot seat in that relationship.
Yes.
And
definitely.
Of course, like,
and I thought the parents were like kind of weirded out by that.
Is like aggro dude, bro. No, the only like, the only lineage relationship is F. Murray Abraham, Michael Imperioli, and then Adam DeMarco, I think is the other actor.
That is crazy to me that that's what my brain did just based on their ages. Like they just looked so, I'm trying to look at what their actual ages are. They just look like about 25 years apart.
Maybe he's just he's got that young look. Will Sharp just looks young. Let's see. Let's bring it up. But yeah, so.
Okay, Theo James, born in 84. Okay, I definitely thought he was older than that. And Aubrey Plaza is born in 84. Wow.
And then Will Sharp is 86.
Like, that's crazy. Wow. I genuinely thought that those were his parents.
Nope. It's just his buddy showing his wife his dick.
All right. That's better. Yeah. I thought that
it was it's better. Dad. That makes it okay. That's all right then.
That's fucked up.
I accept what's happening here. And I know that the internet liked talking about Theo James's dick.
Sometimes I watch so much TV that I just think I know exactly what's going on because I just jump to like, okay, I know what's going to happen here because the dad, whatever, but that like, just make up my own shit. I can't picture in my head who was the girl that Theo James is dating.
The actress's name is Megan Fahey. She's also the one that's at the beginning of the episode. So we know she makes it.
Okay. In my head, I've been picturing Connie Britton.
That's from the previous season. That's from season one. So yeah.
Wow, that's funny.
What of these storylines interests you the most?
Well, the one that I made up.
Okay, gotcha.
I guess I'm interested in all of them. The Michael Imperioli one I think is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Maybe just because I find him as an actor to be so fucking interesting. But the one that I'm most invested in is anything to do with Haley Lou Richardson's character because like that's the closest to the positions I've been in life. It's just like, so I'm really intrigued by that. And then the guy that she was talking to, the son.
Yeah.
Who's actually a son.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know me, love ship or ships. What's happening here? Mm-hmm.
And we got a little hints of it. We might get some of that class disparity because he's talking about going to Stanford and shit like that. So it is interesting that this season seems to immediately be more focused on relationships and because it's Italy, romance and like cheating and that sort of thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I think that we are going to be like a little more risque, maybe. because
I mean, right off the bat, we got Simona Tabasco and Beatrice Grano, who one of them is basic. I don't feel like I'm talking about him, and is basically a prostitute, and the other friend is like, not yet. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's the Jennifer Coolidge like sex storyline with her husband of like when and how. So Italy, you know, let's spice it up.
Exactly. Perfect for the lover of love and the shipper of ships. Often Italy. Real quick.
Yeah. I still can't believe I thought that was his dad. They just look so, I don't know.
I don't, you see, now you get to watch it with whole new eyes. You're entering episode two with a whole new perspective. You must have
been like, what the fuck is this bitch talking?
Well, because I was starting to think of like Michael Imperioli's, because he's got his dad and his son. I was like, okay, where are we? Okay, yeah. All right, we're over here. I got it. Really quick, Roxy, when did you stop watching Titans? What was the last thing you remember from Titans?
Being in like a diner and Batman appearing or some shit.
So you might not have even watched season three at
maybe
all.
Maybe after that. No, I must have. What was the start of season three?
Season three is Red Hood. We start with like Jason Todd being killed and becoming Red Hood.
Definitely saw that.
Okay. Oh yeah, because we talked about that, and because that episode ends with Batman being like, "Peace out, I'm not Batman. I killed Joker, and I'm not Batman anymore."
What the fuck is the Alan Richson's the girl?
Yes.
What's her name?
Oof, hold on.
Wow, I can't believe I can't pull this right now.
Listen, Brian, I'm right there with you. Hold on.
Minka Kelly.
We got there. We figured it out.
Minka Kelly came back to the show, right?
No. Once she left, she got on the plane and left forever.
She was in an episode last season?
No, she wasn't last season. I don't want to spoil it because what happens to Hawk makes her leave.
Right, he died. Yes. I remember
Okay,
that.
Cool. Yeah, he gets blown up.
So that was last season?
Yes.
Okay, so I remember that. She was devastated.
Yes.
I'm having a hard time placing in a timeline when things happen.
That's totally fair.
And then like fucking, what's his name, goes fucking crazy. And they have to walk it back.
Red Hood, yeah. He's blowing up teammates and shit.
Red Hood.
So, okay. So,
did I watch the whole season?
I don't know. Did you get to the part where they save everybody in Gotham through magic, through Lazarus Pit magic?
Nope, definitely didn't.
Is that
real?
Yes. Scarecrow like gasses most of the city and they all die. And then everybody brings them back by turning the Lazarus Pit into gas magic.
It's starting to sound more familiar, actually, but I'm literally picturing Gotham. Like the.
Yes, it could be Gotham. It could be Arrow. Listen, at this point, yeah, who's to say? But
I think I watched a lot of the show.
That's fair. I am genuinely shocked that we got a season four of this show, especially with like Batgirl being axed and all that. But here we are. And the big thing, Roxy, this season is, are you planning to watch the season or can I spoil it?
Is there more than one episode out?
Two.
Oh, I'm going to watch.
Okay, I won't spoil it. But the big thing this season is that Titus Welliver is here as Lex Luthor. And
oh, they added Lex to the show?
Yeah.
Last season?
This season. The beginning of this season. And we're dealing with Brother Blood. We're dealing with magic. And it's just, I like this show enough. I like a lot of the actors in it. But it's just such a chaotic show. And it's such a, like, it feels like one of those things where you don't have the budget to have a show with Starfire and Beast Boy in it, is what I'm getting to. Like, there's a whole scene. It's a really cool sequence where, like, Starfire is, like, taking out a bunch of dudes. But she's just, like, fist fighting dudes. And it's like, well, this isn't what I want Starfire to be flying around and blasting lasers out of her hands. Like, that's what, and Beast Boy, there's a sequence where they give Beast Boy, like, armor that he can finally change without ripping his clothes. And he blacks out. And when he wakes up, the lab's the story. And they're like, dude, you changed into a gorilla and a velociraptor. And it's like, well, don't tell me that. I want to see it. Like, don't. If you can't show Beast Boy turning into Beast, why is he on your show?
Do you think that their budget has gotten smaller?
That is not the impression I've been given. If anything, starting with season three, once it became an HBO Max show with season three, it felt like it got a little bit better. And it still feels like we're in that place. It's just a tonally weird show. Like it's because it feels like a CW show, but they're running around saying like fuck and shit and all that stuff, and it's just, and it's like super fucking violent. It makes it sound like I don't like it. I like these episodes. I really want you to watch it just because I want to talk about Titus Welliver versus Lex Luthor, because I know when he was cast, I was like, is Titus Welliver too good for Titans? And I think the show answered my question by saying, yes, he is too good for the show. he is too good for the show. I'm just going to say, don't get it attached to Titus Welliver being on Titans.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's a very good Lex Luthor, and that must have been the reason he's like, yeah, I'll play Lex Luthor on your show. I think I've heard that he's like a genuine nerd, but it's one of those like, you couldn't have saved him for Man of Steel 2. Like, sorry, Jesse Eisenberg, you're out. Titus Welliver's our Lex Luthor now. Cause it's not, I know he's not like the biggest actor, but he headlined Bosch. Like he's like around. He's good in it. I like a lot of the cast. I like this show for as chaotic as it is. If anybody's watching it in the chat, let me know what you think about this episode. So that's that. Did I make you excited?
What is that?
I think one thing, the actress, I remember when we first started watching it, Roxy, you said you had issues with the actress that plays Raven.
I did.
And I think over the years, these episodes, I think she's stepped up her game.
It just felt like Starfire was acting circles around her.
And that might still be true, but I think Brenton Thwaites as Dick Grayson's really good. He's another one that when I watch the show, I'm like, yeah, man, why are you on this show? Why aren't you on Game of Thrones or something? Like, I like the show, but you're too good for it, man. Get off the show.
Yeah, but when it started, I feel like it thought it was going to be Game of Thrones like level.
I know, right? But it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not. That's who they should get when they age up. The boys, they should get Brenton Thwaites. Let's move over to The Watcher, because I feel like a lot of people have been talking about it.
Yeah.
And my wife watched a few episodes, and I saw the ending, and I looked at
my
wife.
Is she planning on finishing it?
She finished it. Did you finish it?
Yeah.
I was with her when she finished the show, and I looked at her. I'm like,
she was upset.
I was like, wait, is that it? And she's like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, what do you mean you guess? Is that, that's, you've watched how many episodes of the show, and this is how they end it?
Yeah.
But again, I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
Totally. Your brief assessment is what every single person online has said. Oh, cool. Like, you made me sit through 7 episodes to get to that. I didn't feel that way.
Okay.
And I'm really not trying to be a contrarian. It's based on a true story, and the ending of the real story is a little different, but is also a little the same.
Okay.
Very open-ended.
Gotcha.
So that made me feel okay about it, because that's like what happened.
Is there, so obviously not to spoil anything for people that maybe haven't watched it, but there's not a lot of closure, I guess, plot wise.
There's not much resolution.
But is there thematic closure? Does that thematically, like, she just watched a movie called The Rental, and that similarly takes like a mad swerve at the end. And it is like, what the fuck are you doing? And for me, I think you can have anticlimax as your point, but that needs to be your point. Like, your thing needs thematically to build to that. That like, hey, sometimes there's not closure. Did it line up with the show?
I feel like it did.
Did my question make sense?
Yeah, totally. Okay. And I do feel like it did. I feel like the show was saying, like, you're not always going to get closure in life. And that affects different people differently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And some people where it looks like it's not affecting them, it is. And some people who doesn't look like it, you know, I think that it was like a really interesting watch.
Okay.
Creepy, interesting watch. But then again, I took to Twitter and people were like, what the fuck? And I do get that they did have a sit through 7 episodes of something to have no point.
Yeah.
Like, no door closed. Every door is still open. But I just didn't, I don't mind that kind of ending.
Gotcha. Before we go, Roxy, we're beginning of November. We're just out of spooky season. Did you watch any fun, spooky things during the Halloween times?
I watched a ton of spooky TV shows. I always like to rewatch Slutty Pumpkin episode from How I Met Your Mother. I always like to rewatch from Friends, like all different Halloween specific episodes. And then I did watch Midnight Club, which you know I really liked. And I watched The Watcher and a lot of, I watched Dahmer, which was the spookiest. And
did you finish Dahmer?
I did.
Did you feel any better about it by the end?
I just don't think in good conscience I can recommend that show to anybody.
It's fair.
You know, like, it was really well done.
Yeah.
But it's like, I do think we're making a societal shift here that is fucking scary and weird. You can just make a show about anybody and they don't have to give their permission. You can use their name and likeness and you can just do that. Like the victims' families, Dahmer's victims' families, there was like shot by shot recreations of them and they didn't want to be in it. And it's like, that's, how can we do that?
Yeah, that seems weird.
Like, and they don't profit off of it. Nothing. Like, how can you do that?
Is there
Brandon Ryan Murphy said that he called everybody and nobody would respond to him, but that kind of like is a response in itself. So
yeah, is there beyond that? Is there merit in the? Because I know people felt icky about. It felt like people felt icky about the nature of the show in general. Do you think there was merit in the story the show was trying to tell, and I guess illustrating this dude?
I'm going to answer your question with a question.
Okay.
Do you think the majority of our generation is aware of who Dahmer is and that he was mass murdering specifically black and brown gay people?
No, because I didn't. Okay. I just know Jeffrey Dahmer, serial killer. That's right. The end. Yeah.
So then I do think there is merit in a history lesson.
Okay.
You know, like I think that it did a really good job of showing how he was targeting his victims and like the parts of the story that probably didn't get publicized as much, which is that the police were called so many fucking times by Dahmer's black next door neighbor and they just didn't fucking care and didn't do shit about it.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, there was a lot shown where I do think one of the best ways to not repeat history is to know about it. But I do think there's other ways to do that in the docuseries, of course, or, you know, with the permission of people. So I can't say there's zero merit in them making this because I didn't know about. I knew, same as you.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer, one of the most notorious serial killers. But that was my start and stop of it. So it did educate me. I'm also pretty educated on the fact that our police are trash, have been trash, and specifically are trash to black and brown people.
Yeah.
So I don't know that I learned something new about our society, but maybe somebody would.
Okay. Fair enough. For me, segueing from that very serious topic to spooky stuff that I watched. I wanted to share I watched some cool stuff that I wanted to share. I think this was on Hulu. I checked out Possessor from David Cronenberg's kid, whose name I don't remember.
A movie?
It is a movie. These are all movies.
I've never heard of Possessor.
Possessor, yeah. It came out in, I'm about ready to bring it up. It came out in 2020, so not that long ago, actually.
Was it good?
Directed by Brandon Cronenberg. It is good. It is dark. Brandon picks up after his dad. So a lot of body horror. I think the premise, it could have been a bit more fun. Basically, a hitman possesses the body of a person close to the person they're trying to kill and then kills them. And so you spend, it seems so simple. Now I'm trying to explain it. It's kind of tricky. But you spend a chunk of the movie with the person that is possessed. So you're following a character inside another character's body as they kind of acclimate to the person's life as they get ready to do the hit. And I feel like you could have done a little bit more. It's a bleak movie. It's a pretty bleak movie. And I feel like there could have been a little bit more fun in there.
Like that's kind of a silly premise. So you think that they could have lightened it up a little?
Not necessarily a silly premise, but like a cool, I think like a cool sci-fi premise. And you could have done cool sci-fi shit. Although I did appreciate that it is more along the lines of a horror movie. We watched Sadako versus Kayako, which for American audiences is The Ring versus The Grudge. It's a Japanese movie where The Ring ghost and The Grudge ghost go head to head, and it is fun. I also
checked. What do you like better, The Ring or The Grudge?
I haven't seen either of those movies. This is the only Ring and Grudge movie I've seen.
DJ,
I know. I missed out. I do think I can tell you watching this movie which one is more popular in Japan because of the two of them, the ring gets a lot more screen time in the movie.
Okay.
So I feel like that's where the money's being made. Watched VHS 99. Roxy, have you seen any of the VHS movies?
No. Is that my friend? Oh, you look. VHS.
It's an anthology movie. It's an anthology movie series. So perhaps one of your friends made one of the parts of the anthology, and that would be fucking cool.
I think, was it good?
Yeah, it's good. It's like all anthologies and all the VHS movies where some shorts are better than others. But I thought VHS 99 was a real return to form, and I liked it a lot.
It was my friend Johannes, who's the one who did 47 Meters Down. I've told you about him.
Uh-huh. Which one did he do?
I saw him just post about it. He kept telling me to be on the lookout, but then I didn't really understand what it was. Let me see.
Hold on. We're going to go down. We're down the rabbit hole.
It was, how do you know?
Oh, he did Suicide Bid. Yeah, that was a good one.
What's it called?
Suicide Bid. He did one of the shorts in it called Suicide Bid. That was a fun one.
Where does this exist?
So this exists on Shudder. Most of these movies I watch are on Shudder.
So that's such a bummer. How do I get Shudder without paying for Shudder?
Do you have AMC Plus?
No. I don't.
Then you're out of luck. I don't know what to tell you. You either subscribe to Shudder or you subscribe to AMC Plus. That's all I got for you.
Xfinity. Ugh.
Maybe you have a Shudder. But so VHS 99 was good. And I liked one of the shorts so much that the people that did that short did a movie called Deadstream. And Roxy, I really recommend Deadstream. I think...
So wait, did you watch the short, then go watch the movie, or you watched the movie, then you watched
the short? I watched the short, and then I found out they did this movie, and it's also on Shudder. I went and watched the movie, and basically, Deadstream follows, I'm going to say, a Logan Paul-esque internet personality whose whole bit is he does stuff out of his comfort zone. And so this one, he's coming off of being banned from YouTube. He's finally, it's a Twitch analog. They call it Livid, LIVVID. He's been banned from the platform for one of his stunts, and now he's back. And so, like, to get his sponsors back, he's going to go into a haunted house. Shenanigans ensue. It's got very much like Evil Dead horror comedy stuff. But you and I work in this space, and we've seen a lot of people make jokes about the space. And sometimes it's like, well, you're clearly making jokes from an outsider's perspective. Like, through the movie, he'll like go in the comments, because it's like you're watching the live stream. So you'll see the comments, and they're like, yep. That is very true to life. And it's just fun and funny and moves at a brisk pace and has a lot of really, it's very creative with its premise. I watched it on my own, really dug it. And then I watched it with Monica, and she also really dug it. So anybody that has Shudder, check out Deadstream. And that's it for spooky movies. And that's it for us today. Leonard Kim is watching in the chat, is watching Quantum Leap, Avenue 5, The Peripheral. God, there's so many shows, Roxy. There's so many fucking shows. Mighty Ducks Game Changers, which I know you're not, you would have told me if you'd started watching it. So I know you haven't started watching it.
I'll get on it, but not yet.
Titans.
I wonder how season 2 is. Nobody's talking about it.
I know. Probably
nobody was talking about season 1 either, though.
So we're out of luck. Glenn Caesar's watching Abbott Elementary, which we've started watching, really good. We've started watching season 2. Easy Bake Competition, The Watcher, gonna start White Lotus. Leonard Kim says, I genuinely liked all of the seasons of Titans, and I'm liking what I'm seeing in Titans so far. Mike Joyce says, Possessor was terrific. Glenn Caesar says, Werewolf by Night was fun too. I want to thank you all for joining us. There's not going to be another live show next week because I'm going to be out of town, but Roxy and I are going to do our damnedest to get you a Black Panther review. So stay tuned for that, and we'll see you all next time. Bye, everybody.